Dave, I understand, you know, the Elks players agreed to this because they wanted to get their paychecks. All right, and I guess same with Toronto, but this is less than ideal week for the green and gold players.
Well, I had to do a little research and try to find out, when's the last time a CFL team played three road games in 7 days? And I came up with the 1941 season, 80 years ago. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers played three road games in 7 days. But in those days, that included playing two games when you were in Vancouver to save money. So they didn't go three places for games. They went two places for three games. They weren't in three time zones. I mean, it's, you know, it's crazy, right? In today's world of proper rest and safety around football, look, it's ultimately was up to the players. Do you guys want to play the game or not? And the players, from what I understand, voted overwhelmingly on both teams to play it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So what do you think, like, the, you know, obviously the Elks, we kind of know where their season's going to end, but a team like Toronto, you know, what do you think are, what kind of long-term effects could there be for their team as they play such quick turnaround football towards the end of the season?
Well, the Argonauts got a gift because on Friday night, they beat the Hamilton Tigercats in a game that I was really, to me, a surprising game. I thought the way Hamilton's played the last couple of months that was a game they poised to win, but Toronto won it big time. And the reward for chilling out and clinching first place in the East Division before the final game of the year is you can rest a whole bunch of people. And that's what the Toronto Argonauts are going to do tonight. So, you know, they're able to pick and choose. They know who's banged up at this stage of the season and who's still good to go. Playing a game on short rest, as some of the players are going to do. I mean, they don't have enough to rest everybody, but they're able to pick the key guys they want to rest. They're able to take the banged up guys that they want to rest. But had they not beat Hamilton Friday night, this would be a meaningful game for the Toronto Argonauts, and they'd be, you know, in a much more difficult situation, especially, you know, if they ended up having to play the first week of the playoffs coming off the back-to-back here, which separated just by a couple of days.
Dave, I want to get your thoughts. Can you help me understand? So the Elks acquire Nick Arbuckle. Then they quickly sign him to a contract extension, which means now it's a second-round pick that they'll give up. But they don't play him. Meanwhile, Trevor Harris is playing in Montreal. Heck, Cam Newton, who wasn't even on a roster, is playing in Carolina, but they're not playing Arbuckle. Why?
It's a fair question. And, you know, I jokingly with some of my colleagues say, well, there's a league conspiracy that teams will sign Nick Arbuckle, pay him starter money, and refuse to play him. Because that's what Ottawa did. That's what Toronto did. And now Edmonton's the third team to sign him for a contract to starter money. You know, Ottawa obviously missed the 2020 season. They decided to go another direction. I think it was widely assumed that the starting job was his to lose in Toronto. They end up going another direction. And now Edmonton's got him. And at least for the time being, they're going in another direction. Well, I think the official answer here is that, look, one thing the Elks are not doing over this seven-day period here leading into these three games, they're not practicing. They're not practicing at all. I mean, they've got, you know, treatment and meetings, I think, on two of the days when they're not traveling and not playing. Every other day in this period, they're either traveling or they're playing. So the question would be then, well, you know, the deal was done a couple of weeks ago. Couldn't you play them, say, on the weekend against Saskatchewan? Couldn't you play them tonight at Toronto? Because there has been practice time. I understand once you get into this, it's a little bit different. I don't completely understand it. Look, quarterback is not a plug-and-play position. It's not like getting a new leadoff hitter in baseball. But we've seen Trevor Harris is playing pretty well for Montreal. We saw what Zach Caleros did late last season in Winnipeg. So, you know, the only other theory that's out there is that, look, things have not gone well in Edmonton. You know, Nick Arbuckle hasn't played in a while. He hasn't played in this system. They want to build some confidence going into the offseason, you know, around their acquisition and I think, legitimate competition at training camp between him and Taylor Cornelius next spring. If Arbuckle goes in and looks horrible, does that hurt consumer confidence? Does that hurt the way even the club might look at the, you know, the coach and general manager? They made this acquisition. If he doesn't look good, I mean, I don't know if that's true at all. I just know that in the conversations that I'm having with people around the league and they look at that situation, that's what comes up. But, you know, I don't have any knowledge to that. And the club's official stance is, you know, he hasn't had enough time to practice. They've got a condensed schedule. And at least at this stage, they're not going to play him.
talking CFL football with Dave Naylor from the CFL on TSN. Naylor, one of the hottest teams in the CFL are our neighbors just to the east, Saskatchewan Roughriders, winners of four in a row. You kind of know what Winnipeg's done, but have Saskatchewan narrowed that gap where you might think there's a chance that that could be a relatively close and competitive football game if they were to meet in the playoffs?
Well, I think you look at Saskatchewan, you know, and they were kind of the 1A team for much of the season. And then, you know, they kind of fade a little bit in the middle. But you know, they've added two huge pieces. I mean, you look at Shaq Evans and Duke Williams. I mean, those are guys that are number one receivers on any team in the league, and they got two of them. You know, and they're a little different. You know, Shaq is more of a, you know, stretch this down the seams guy. Duke is your 50-50, your big receiver that you can toss it up to on the outside. But we saw what he can do last week in that game. I mean, that's been his biggest game since he came back to the CFL about a month ago. And for much of the season, you know, they didn't have those two guys. So I think, you know, that's a game changer for Saskatchewan. You know, they've had some injuries on defense. I think they've been pretty good on that side of the ball all year. They played a lot of close games. You know, there's a handful of teams in this league that if you look at their records, you know, Calgary's one, Hamilton's one, Saskatchewan's another. You know, there's a handful of games here that go one way or another over the course of the season, and that's really what separates this team. And I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, anybody can win on these playoff dates. I'm not sure that's the case when you go up against Winnipeg, but elsewhere in the West, when you look at that Calgary-Saskatchewan semifinal, it's an awfully tough game to pick.
Dave Naylor joins us. Dave, quickly give me your thoughts. BC announces, and that's the Elks' final game, that they're going to go with their young QB. What do you make of Mike Riley in BC after this season?
You know, I think everybody likes Mike Riley as a guy, as a community guy, as a battler, as a quarterback. You know, I don't know anybody who doesn't think Mike Riley has really served every team he's played for, both Edmonton, and BC, you know, or the league very well. But you're going to get into an economic conversation here. Mike Riley was the highest paid player in the CFL before he signed his big contract with BC. And, you know, now that he signed that, we can put that, this is year three of that deal. Of course, 1 year of it was not impacted because of COVID. But the last time Mike Riley played a playoff game was 2017. You know, they didn't make it the last year he was in Edmonton. They haven't made it 2 years in BC. And, you know, I think when you've got your salary structure such that you're paying one guy that much and you can't get to the playoffs, I mean, I would be stunned if the BC management doesn't take a look at that. That doesn't mean they're not going to necessarily have Mike Riley back, but I think it does beg the question of, you know, at what number would they have Mike Riley back for the fourth year of his contract? And Nathan Rourke is a guy, you know, absolutely they see as a future starter. I mean, you know, they've seen him with meaningful downs. He's a young player. You know, he gives you a run-pass option, likes to run the ball a lot. That's sometimes teams like that, sometimes they don't. I know Nathan Rourke has, you know, been sort of told in the CFL he's not expected to run the ball like he did in college in the Mid-American Conference, but he's got that in his skill set. And whether it's, you know, next season or whether Mike Riley comes back and fulfills the final year of his deal, I think it's, you know, Mike's 36 now, I believe. I mean, you can see where the Lions are, you know, are anticipating the transition here. It's whether that's next year or beyond. And I'm not surprised that they're going to give Nathan Rourke a shot. And I think it's a good decision.
And last one for you. You mentioned Winnipeg. Obviously, they were without their starter. They had a loss. They just kind of seemed to be resting. But I don't know if you don't want to. It's a slippery slope, Dave. You don't want to rest too many guys that get their banged up, right? Like, you don't want to all of a sudden lose that momentum, because the CFL, we've seen it year after year. It can almost be the team who's just hot going into the playoffs, not necessarily the team that's been the best all year long.
Well, like Winnipeg was, you know, in 2019, right? I mean, they really got hot down the stretch, and their defense just rose up. And I don't think they gave up two touchdowns in any of their three playoff games. So, yeah, you've seen an example. Winnipeg was the third place team when they won the Grey Cup in 2019. You know, if I talked to Kyle Walters, their GM, about this a few weeks ago when it was becoming clear that they were going to have to manage the situation, it's not something he had any experience at, not something Mike O'Shea had any experience at. But I think, you know, what you're looking at it, you're not only looking at the rest you're going to get during the last few weeks of the season, but you're also looking at that bye week. So I think, you know, the way they've managed it is pretty smart, where 2 weeks ago, almost everybody played. This past week, almost everybody had off. I think you're going to see a lot of their guys playing again this week, and then they get the bye week. So you're basically, you know, stretching 2 weeks between games and taking advantage of the rest in between. If you lose, it's the wrong plan. If you win, it's the right plan. If you play somebody who's important and they get hurt in this last game, it's the wrong plan. You really only control so much, but I don't see anything that would make me think that. Look, here's one thing about Zach Caleros, okay? Let's go with the quarterback just for a moment. He played in week one of 2019 and then took like 20 weeks off and came back and played four games and won the Grey Cup. So we know he's good with rest. So if they want to give him some, you know, a break in this final game, and then with the bye week as well, Zach Caleros has proven at least that, you know, he's able to come off the bench without a lot of play and play at a pretty high level.
Dave, always good to catch up with you, man. We appreciate it. A strange week in the CFL. Five games. Elks will be playing three games in 7 days, and I'll be curious to see how many players are left standing after Friday's game. I have to think that Arbuckle's going to play Friday, no?
I couldn't tell you that for sure. They're not going to practice before Friday. If he's not ready now, I don't know how he would get ready, based on that. So that's going to be very interesting to see. Good weather for the game tonight, though. It's not snowing at minus 15.
No, that's true. It's only minus 7 here right now, so it's balmy. It's balmy for soccer. We'll see how it goes. Dave, appreciate your time.